Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We are taking you up to 6:30. It's a Halloween Thursday on GND. Show is brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. Occasionally, parts of the football team struggle and people in our lives are struggling, especially as they get older. The exclusive sponsor of our show, Condori and Murad, will guide you through a process of managing health care, power of attorney if needed financially. They'll secure a guardianship if that's got to be done as well. For a family member, schedule a free consultation with their elder law and estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a nice discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Right now, let's welcome onto the show Sam Brookhouse, who is with Sumer Sports. They did a really nice piece on the trade deadline coming up, on the projected values of some of the players that could be on the move. I think you guys should go check it out. It is worth your while. Sam, it's Grant and Danny here in D.C. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been listening along to y'all's Halloween commentary, and I'm from South Louisiana around the New Orleans area. And I got to agree, Halloween goes back years and years and years. I'm a big Halloween guy.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Win and do yourself to the. It's like cutting a promo in a road city, like for wrestling. You know, like how many people here like Washington? And then you go nuts. Way to go, dude.
You're getting a little more candy talk than you normally would, because around these parts, Sam, we've been talking almost exclusively about the Commanders as buyers and about the trade deadline over the last few days. What's your take on how legitimate they are as the number one team in EPA per play on offense and a 6-2 division leader right now?
I think they're legitimate. I've loved Jane Daniels going all the way back to the Florida State game, which ended up being an LSU loss, but was the beginning of his Heisman campaign. I love how mobile he is. He's so accurate on the perimeter. And not only does the film tell you that, all of our stats that use tracking data and artificial intelligence tell us that as well. I think as long as Jane Daniels is on the field, they're looking great. But even better, when Mariota was on the field, they performed really, really well. And I'm really excited to see how Terry McLaurin has been utilized by Cliff Kingsbury. The defense looked a little shaky at the beginning of the year. They're starting to round into form. I love the Commanders. That's a big piece in the NFC.
What should they do here, and what do you think they will do?
It's really interesting. I'd be shocked if they weren't having conversations about the cornerback position. We've seen Mikey Sanders still, the draft pick, play okay. You know, St. Juice, Forbes haven't been super consistent throughout their careers. I think Newsom from the Cleveland Browns could be an interesting target. And then you look at some of the other teams. You look at the Panthers. Would they be willing to part with someone like J.C. Horn? I don't think so, but I'd be making the call if I was the Commanders.
So my philosophy on this deadline is, yes, they should be aggressive, but I don't think they should rent anybody. You know, I'd be open, I suppose, to a late round pick next year or something for someone that could get you to the finish line. But I'm really not that interested in that, honestly. I think they're good enough to make some noise in the playoffs this year, but I would be looking to add for 2-3 years from now while adding for this postseason run as well. And that's why I really like the idea of, say, a Greg Newsom, who you referenced, the 24-year-old who went to the University of Georgia, was a first-round pick, 26th overall. What would that cost, a guy like, say, Newsom? Because it's not very often teams get rid of early round picks who are starters. I think that one makes sense because the Browns already paid Denzel Ward, and are you going to pay him as well? So you're trying to like find that Venn diagram that fits both teams. But what's your thought on his price tag?
Yeah, the weird thing with this cornerback market is we really haven't seen any, you know, big time certified starter cornerback trades in recent years. We've seen Stephon Gilmore get kind of passed around. That was, you know, a mid to late round pick. The superstar that got traded, Jalen Ramsey, years ago from Jacksonville to the Los Angeles Rams, that was kind of a super deal for a defensive player of the year type candidate. I think somewhere in those mid round picks, which, you know, we talk about them as if they're throwaway picks, but in the third round, you can get guys that are certified starters in any given year. So they really are quite valuable. And I think that's probably what it would take to get Newsom. I'm on your side as well, though. I think the Commanders probably have a good team, a guy that they would trade for. Would they really put him over the edge? Probably not, based on who's available. I think they should probably hold tight with their picks. I agree with you right there.
Sam Brookhouse with us from Sumer Sports. And that's where I was going to go here, Sam. This is so hard, right? Obviously, you're better with better players. Duh, right? But how much bang for your buck can you get here at this deadline? In other words, how much better could they get with one new piece, two new pieces, whatever it is? Like, what is their ceiling this year? Because I still think, and maybe this is, you know, a blasphemy around these parts with all the goodwill that's happening, they're still a tick below that real honest-to-goodness Super Bowl contender, and maybe a move around the edge won't really put them over the top. Maybe that's not the point. What's their ceiling even with a little bit of improvement here?
Now, as you guys know, if you have a quarterback, you can compete. And we've seen that time and time again. I think with Jaden Daniels in the mix, they're certainly, like you said, a tick below. This is a really interesting year, though, in the NFC and really in the NFL more generally, because there's so many rookie quarterbacks that are playing who are still, I think Jaden has been a check mark. There's still some question marks with some of the other guys. And for my money, there's really only three teams that are certified Super Bowl contenders right now. The Ravens, maybe. Their defense is struggling. They're trying to add pieces to their offense. They added Deontay Johnson from the Panthers yesterday. I think the Chiefs, obviously, are for real. They have Patrick Mahomes. They're sitting at an undefeated record. And I think to round that group out, the Lions have played fantastic. But if you're not in those three, I think you certainly have a chance, and you hope for an injury in those top-tier teams. And I think the piece for the Commanders that would put him over the top would be a corner. I don't know if a guy like that would be there. So I think that's kind of where they sit right now.
What would it take for you to flip the switch to ultra-aggressive, where now you're willing to say part with, I don't know, a two this year and a four in the future or something like that for this rebuilding team, although they're way ahead of schedule, that has all these picks and second most money going into the next offseason? Like, what kind of a deal would you be looking at to just go way outside your plan and kind of break glass in case of emergency?
If you are having conversations to get a really premium player at the edge position, I think that makes a difference for the Commanders and makes a difference for, frankly, a lot of teams. I think there's some guys who are probably in the median that are certainly available. I'm talking about a guy like Za'Darius Smith. That wouldn't necessarily – that'd probably be a mid-round pick there. But if you could get a guy like Trey Hendrickson, who is on the Bengals, who have had, you know, a lot of weird stuff go on with their contracts. They're pretty cash conservative. They declined to extend Ja'Marr Chase this year. They franchise tag T. Higgins. Are they going to be able to pay Trey Hendrickson in 2 years? If they don't think so, maybe you send him out. I wouldn't be shocked if he would be, you know, a second and a third round pick. And then obviously the guys like Max Crosby, who I think are off of the table right now, but who knows if the right deal comes in, maybe two first round picks, that could be like a break glass situation to get a defensive player of the year type sack guy.
Sam, I've made the case that obviously this offense, talking about Washington's, has been so good. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The red zone struggles, I think, you know, some of it's fluky, some of it, you know, maybe design or whatever. But I thought against some really good teams, which will probably be their postseason time, they could use one more you can't stop this guy type weapon. And it's not as if they grow on trees, but maybe schematically there's somebody out there. A, your thoughts on that, thinking about a receiver opposite Terry McLaurin to take some pressure off for those third downs, et cetera, or against some good opponents. And B, if you agree, who might be out there that could fit that?
Yeah, it's tough with Amari Cooper having moved and Devontae Adams having moved and now Deontay Johnson having moved. A lot of those pieces have already gone past. I agree with you on the red zone struggles. I think you have to be really interesting in your design. We've seen that with how the Lions have played. And I think you just have to attack your weapons. And I think teams know, the book is out on the Commanders, that it's going to be the Jaden show, the Brian Robinson show, or the Terry McLaurin show back there. I have my own, like, Jacoby Myers out there in Las Vegas. I think that's probably the best guy you can get in terms of another receiving weapon there. That would probably cost a pretty penny, though. He's their wide receiver one out there at this point. With Devontae gone, I think that'd probably be, you know, a third or fourth round pick there that you'd have to give up to get a Jacoby Myers type guy.
So we've wrestled with this, and Sam Brookhouse is our guest from Sumer Sports. They're number one in EPA per play. They are number one in scoring going into last week. I'm not a believer in the perspective or the paradigm, you know, if you're high rated statistically, you shouldn't try to upgrade, because the season has ebbs and flows, and we've seen Kingsbury's system and scheme get figured out in the second half anyway. But I don't necessarily want to break up a really good thing they've got. I know it sounds kind of silly, but I think they're really buying into this brotherhood bit, and it's a very tight-knit group, and everyone's adapting well to their roles. What's your reason or logic on that, as far as maybe it'd be nice to have another weapon on offense, but it's going so well, do you really want to change anything? I've watched MLB teams in the past go get a closer that should have been lights out, but all of a sudden, you know, the bullpen rules changed and guys weren't happy, and next thing you know, it did more damage than good.
Yeah, I think that locker room culture is absolutely key. I played football down at Tulane University, and my Green Wave will be coming up to the DMV here in 2 weeks for probably what will end up being an American Conference playoff game against Navy to try to get into the title game there. But you just get this certain feel when you're in a locker room and you start putting together 2, 3, 4 games. And I know there's debates on whether momentum is real, but I think we all know that confidence is real. And it's clear that Dan Quinn has the confidence in Jaden Daniels and his leaders on defense. I want to highlight Frankie Luvu. He's been fantastic this year. Just an absolute beast and the real heartbeat of that team as a larger unit. And I think it's a little different in football because typically they're trading draft picks. But if you got everyone in there, maybe you don't want to mix up the chemistry. A lot of the guys are pulling together. They're seeing the growth of their teammates. I kind of agree with you there. There definitely is a locker room component that must be considered.
Let's go a little bit further league-wide here, Sam. And Sam Brookhouse with us from Sumer Sports. Give me a couple of moves that you go, this just makes too much sense not to do.
It makes perfect sense for me for Buda Baker to go to the Vikings. Now, that's a primo kind of trade. Buda Baker's a multi-time All-Pro, multi-time Pro Bowler. And right now the Vikings sit at, you know, an elite team in the NFC in terms of record. However, they're struggling in the back end. They kind of have three guys back there, Harrison Smith and some of their other safeties who they kind of rotate in. But their back end is really struggling. We've seen that in their elite matchups the last two games, trying to stop Puka Nacua and trying to stop Cooper Kupp, and then the game before that trying to stop Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jared Goff's passing attack. This was the highlight for the Vikings in the early year, that they wouldn't be able to cover the pass. I think Flores did a really good job of scheming stuff up in the early season, but I think as teams start to figure that out, it could get a little sketchy for the Minnesota Vikings. We could see them regress a little bit. You know who would change that? Buda Baker. Just an absolute all-you-can-do-it safety. He sits with he's on the last year of his contract. The Cardinals, they sit at 4-4. Are you competing if you're the Cardinals? They're really not great in net points. They're more around teams like the Saints and the Browns in terms of net points. If you don't think you compete and you think that you can greatly improve your team for the future by adding, you know, a couple mid-round picks for All-Pro Buda Baker, then I think that's the move you got to make. It makes sense for both sides in my mind.
If the Bengals were to lose to the Raiders, could T. Higgins be in play? And what would he cost right now? He's been banged up. He's going to miss the game again, it looks like.
I think the Bengals, alongside the Cardinals, are one of the most interesting teams at this deadline. Because, frankly, their offense has been incredible, particularly when T. Higgins is on the field. You know, and Joe Burrow was having like an MVP-type year very quietly. If they were able to string a couple games together, I think we'd start seeing his odds improve there. However, their defense is just awful. I don't know if their defense can improve. They have good players. They have Trey Hendrickson and some of these other guys. I think that T. Higgins could very well become available, given that, you know, negotiations stalled and now he's on a franchise tag. It's unlikely they're going to bring him back, at least for the money that he wants. When I was looking at trades, you look at the Amari Cooper trade from years ago with the Cowboys involved in that. That was for one first-round pick for a younger guy, you know. At the time, Amari Cooper was a certified wide receiver one. That may add some context there that may change kind of the calculus of the negotiation. But I'd expect him to go for at least, you know, a first or a second, certainly.
Sam, why do you think in general for so many years there wasn't much trade deadline activity like there is in other sports? And now businesses seem to have picked up a little bit when it comes to the trade deadline. It actually has meaning. We've already seen some moves kind of to your point. Just big picture, why do you think it was one way and now it seems to be changing?
I think Brett Veach highlighted this really well, the general manager of the Chiefs. And he said in the NFL, and as you know, it's not for long in the NFL, you got to be all in every year. And that's how these guys kind of approach it. I think in football, where you have guys really putting their body on the line, the contracts are really short. You can really lose chemistry if you try to lose. We kind of saw this with the Patriots a little bit, kind of inexplicably starting Brissett until allegedly, you know, the locker room kind of went south on that organization. And I think that's why. I think if you start trading away a bunch of good guys, the teams might quit on you. I think there's a lot of worries about that. I don't think it's necessarily analytically based. I think some of the teams that are very analytical, such as the Ravens, typically make moves at this time. But that's, I think it's more of a chemistry thing and a personal thing than anything dealing with the numbers or dealing with hard business.
Information was awesome. Really good info. We look forward to the deadline and hopefully getting more intel from you guys. You do a great job over at Sumer Sports. Thanks so much for hopping aboard, Sam.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Sam.
That's Sam Brookhouse with us on Grant and Danny. You can follow him on Twitter. It's his last name is spelled Bruchhaus, and it's Brookhouse Sports. Really, really good info, and I really like that site. Those guys do an awesome
Smart
job.
Smart man. Good info.
A Rookie of the Month was named in the NFL for the month of October that ends today. That award was doled out today, and Jaden Daniels didn't win it. All the guy does is win Rookie of the Week, but he was not named the Rookie of the Month. Who was, you ask? That's next on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Tomorrow we are out and about. Friday Field Trip Series is continuing, and we are headed to Fairfax. The Craft House at Fairfax Corner. We'll be there a little before 2, but we will be live from 2 to 6:30. So come spend the afternoon with us. Get out of the office. Either take your lunch or get out early and come have happy hour with us. Craft House, Fairfax, these events have been tremendous. We're trying to make it 3 for 3.
We have knocked them both out of the park. And frankly, you guys have. I mean, we're just doing our show.
I was going to say, what did we do?
Well, yeah, we showed up. You know what I mean? We put clothes on. We drove there. We did our show. I mean, that's a lot to ask. But you guys crushed it.
You didn't put clothes on for the Leesburg one. Pretty sure you were naked for that one.
No, I had a shirt on. But the camera's visible only from here up. You know what I mean?
Right. Porky pigged it.
Mm-hmm. Daffy ducked it. But yeah, they've been phenomenal. It's such a really fun, cool time. You know what I mean? Like that's all I could think about the whole time is this energy would not have happened with year 3 of Ron Rivera. You know what I mean? Like this just joyride that we're all on. Everyone wants a board, and it's been so much fun.
How about year 5 of Ron Rivera?
No thanks.
What do you mean year 3 of Ron Rivera? We had 4 of those.
Well, I'm just saying, like, all that enthusiasm was gone. By year 4, we could have done a live event at anywhere. It would have been like, thanks. Appreciate that.
We would have been talking about the team in someone's living room, and they would have told us to go outside.
Would you leave? Seriously, enough of you guys.
So true. I want to get into Jaden Daniels not being named Rookie of the Month in the NFL. We'll do that in just 1 second. But real quick, I did post on at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. I'm getting now all the pictures of the candy spreads people have put together to give out. A lot of nines and tens here. Only one person has really taken issue with my grade. And this person is giving out blow pops. I gave him a 5.5. He seems really bothered that that's too low. Now, best I could tell, it's only blow pops. I like blow pops, but there's no other option. So I'm walking up, I'm grabbing a blow pop. I mean, is it a long driveway? Am I huffing it to go get my blow pop? I don't know. I don't think it's a bad grade.
Yeah,
thank you
for the blow pop. But
I'm fine with the blow pop.
Right.
Blow pop's good. On Halloween, I would be excited as a kid to get a blow pop. That's why it is above a 5. But am I going to give you a 6 or a 7? I don't think I could do that.
I mean, respectfully, that's a league average starter. He's in the league. And nothing wrong with that. We're not saying he's got to get sent down. We're not saying, you know, he doesn't belong. He should be cut. We're saying he can play, but is he on a championship team? Is he a starter for the one of the best teams in the league? Are you sure?
Are you trading a draft pick for a blow pop?
No.
Are you just waiting until the blow pop's on the waiver wire?
It's not like blow pop's a great locker room guy, you know, because now they're spiky in the bowl, so they take up more real estate than you'd think. They're hard to get off. Talking about the wrapper, you have to have a PhD in wrapper removal.
Oh, my God. How many blow pops did you eat over the years where you still had the wrapper tied around the stick?
And you like tore it and pulled it down?
Exactly. Like half there?
Yeah, like a dress with a zipper stuck or something like that. Just like, listen. And again, it sounds like I'm running down blow pops. I would never do that. I like blow pops. There are 50 options. You know what I mean? Like, that can't be your first read.
No, it's fine.
It's fine.
That's why it's a 5.5. It's fine. There's two candies, by the way, that I think when I was a kid that I loved, that if I ate them today, I would hate. Or let me say it differently. Like, if my kids get them tonight for Halloween, they'll be giddy. But there's zero chance I will eat any of these out of the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And those candies would be Tootsie Rolls, which stink out loud. But as a kid, I think you really like a Tootsie Roll. I remember loving them. And Airheads. And I don't know why I've changed on Airheads, but as a kid, Airheads were the best. And right now, this moment, I don't think there's anything I'd be less interested in out of a Halloween bowl than grabbing an Airhead.
So I like those. I remember.
You like them currently?
No. I'm with you on those. I was thinking of my answer on that with that thing I used to love. I think it's because there was an older kid in my neighborhood named Eric, who I saw destroying a huge bag of these on Halloween. I always associated that with coolness. Like, he skateboarded. He had that kind of haircut, which is a big deal for us in the day. So you would never have liked this, but his hair was really short on on both the sides, and he had this like long. Not bangs, but just to one side where it scooped down and covered like a little bit of his eye. And I'm like, can you even see? But he didn't care that he couldn't see. Like, he was so cool as far as I was concerned. He had like huge shorts that had like 9,000 pockets. And, like, his wallet was on a chain. You know, I thought that dude was like the coolest dude in the world. He had a huge bag of Swedish fish. I remember thinking that Swedish fish was like the greatest treat you could have as a little kid. And then like, I think I probably at 12 and I was like, these are so pedestrian. These are dumb. Like, there's nothing special about the Swedish fish. Like, I remember, like, I was like, not even consciously, but I'm sitting there going, oh, I'm so excited about this. And then I went, wait a minute. These are uninteresting. I'm never doing that again.
I'll eat a Swedish fish, though.
They're fine.
But I'm not ever going to seek it out, and mm-hmm. I'm not excited about it. I'm not choosing it over something else. But, yeah, that could be on the list of things I loved as a kid. Not as much now, but the Tootsie Roll is the leader in the clubhouse. Airheads, definitely. In that conversation for me. All right, Bo Nix, not Caleb Williams, beat out Jaden Daniels for Rookie of the Month in the NFL in October. Jaden wins it in September, and now Nix wins it in October. And if you're saying, well, wait a second, Daniels keeps winning Rookie of the Week, how did he not win Rookie of the Month? Well, Rookie of the Week, the one that you guys always hear about, that, you know, Pepsi one, it's just a fan vote. It's just a bunch of people, Twitter or otherwise, I'm not even sure exactly where. I think just online, voting. And so really, while it's cool, it doesn't have anything to do with who's going to win the Rookie of the Year award or, in this case, the Rookie of the Month award. But if you stack up the numbers side by side, Daniels has a case. Now, I will say, I also understand why they gave it to Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the numbers side by side. And you tell me which of the two you would have given the award to, okay?
Gotcha.
870 passing yards versus 839. 149 rushing yards versus 206, 9 total touchdowns versus 4, and a 102.7 quarterback rating versus 97.4. Would you go with player A, 870, 149, 9, 102.7, or player B, 839, 206, 4, and 97.4?
It's player A, and that's Nix. I happen to know those stats because when I saw it, I went, "Wait, what? Something? It's not Jaden Daniels." And I looked it up and I said, "Damn, he's actually been really, really good this month."
I think the thing that hurt Daniels here is the touchdowns.
I'm sure of it. Yeah,
he does not really throw touchdowns. Now, that's overstated. I mean, I shouldn't say it that way.
At the same clip as some of the other league leaders, I think that's fair.
I mean, this is an Alex Smithian touchdown thing we got going here, and I think this could explode at any moment. He could have. You know, if he goes out and has a 4-touchdown game against the Giants, well, now all of a sudden he's on pace for 25, and that's a very good number for a rookie. But for right now, he is on pace to throw like 16 touchdowns for the year. What you have to do with rushing quarterbacks, Danny, as you know, is then add in the rushing touchdown element of it, and he does run for touchdowns. So he has four of those, and he's on pace, you know, let's say for eight over the course of the season. So now all of a sudden, you know, 17 plus eight, you get him to the mid-20s in touchdowns, and it makes it work. But if Caleb Williams throws for 30 and you're throwing for 17, that's going to hurt you. You know,
totally
if Bo Nix, I mean, it's 2-1. It's 9-4 this month in touchdowns. That's going to come back to bite you in the butt. He threw for more yards, higher-rated passer. The only thing Daniels outdid him in was rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
And at the quarterback position, while that's a big deal, that's just not going to win you the award by itself.
Absolutely. And this isn't a knock on Daniels. Nick's is actually incredible. Now, Denver's played, we talked about this yesterday a bit, a bit of a garbage schedule here as they've ripped off 5 out of 6 and got themselves into second place in that division. But they're 3-1 in October, and Nix has played his best football. That 7-1 touchdown interception ratio, QB rating over 100, as you said. And he's also running the ball pretty effectively. It's not Daniels, right? It's not design stuff or some of those dramatic oh my god type plays. And remember, Daniels missed 90% of a game in there as well, which
I
think probably hurts the accumulation. Yeah.
Daniels had the Browns game where he got sat for the fourth quarter, and he missed three quarters of the game against the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
So he quite literally played one fewer game in terms of just overall quarters than Bo Nix. So the passing yards probably would have been substantially higher. Maybe he closes the gap. Let's say he throws two more touchdowns or something. Now it's 9-6. Like, you can make the case, Danny, he would have won the award possibly if he played in those five quarters, or I guess it would have been four quarters of football. But I don't think you can have, based on how it played out, how Nick's played, how Daniels played, I don't think you can have a big issue or have a big gripe. I saw the Commanders fans were like livid about this. Again, stack them up side by side. You can understand why the award went where it did.
Without a doubt. And again, this anything that's not someone else played well, like, people take it so personally. You know what I mean? That it's somehow anti-Daniels.
It's so out of control the way people are.
And it's great. I mean, I love having that problem where our guy is the golden boy and it's the best and he is awesome. Me saying, hey, Bo Nix has played really good football for a month, I'll take Jaden Daniels every time. Thank you. I still want Jaden Daniels. I want nothing to do with Bo Nix. I'm glad our guy is here. Simply an acknowledgement another person has played well doesn't change anything about our guy, I promise you.
Yeah. One of them is decidedly a better prospect and has been since before the draft, and his name is Jaden Daniels. Grant and Danny, with you on the Fan, we are closing in on the 6:30 time frame when we'll say goodbye tonight, and you go your way, we go ours for Halloween celebrations all over the place. Hopefully you and the kids, if you've got them, have something planned, or you're passing out candy. If not, should be a fun evening. Next, here on the show, we'll get you a Capitals power play, and we're going to go around the NFL with some news and notes of the day. Remember, 40 more minutes with you on GND, and then Caps hockey tonight on the Fan. Grant and Danny taking you up to 6:30 on the Fan. Happy Halloween. Hope the kids are getting ready to go get their candy. If you're just passing out candy at home, hopefully you got the good stuff. Let's make sure that we're giving out that king-size candy bar. How about it?
No skimping. It's not fun size. There's nothing fun about a little bit.
My wife was like, oh, I got exactly what you wanted. You got to be happy. And she showed it to me, and they're full size. And I said, those are fine. She's like, you don't seem that happy about it. I said, well, we do king size. She's like, these are huge. I said, well, they're full size. We do king size.
King. Looking for king. Would have accepted
king. She's
like,
this is as big as it gets. I said, no.
No. That's adorable. Healthy people buying candy. They don't know what to do.
And if anyone should understand, it's her who's like a Starbucks addict. She's like, well, it's called full. Why would it be called full? I'm like, oh, now you know how I feel.
Yeah.
When you do your little, I'll take my super large, tall, extra big. And it's really small because
it's just three different words for big.
Right.
that's what it is.
Let's spin you around the NFL here in the stretch run of Grant and Danny. About 45 minutes to go before we head out and you guys enjoy your Halloween evenings. We'll start in Cincinnati where T. Higgins and the Bengals got some bad news on that quad again today. Higgins did not practice. His week 9 outlook is not looking good at this point. Two straight missed practices. He did not play this past week. Danny, this is now a couple years in a row where T. Higgins is on team, can't get on the field.
Always
this guy
feels that way.
is on a tag at this point, right? He is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He's a guy that I would throw a lot of money at and I would be willing to bring into my organization, Washington or anywhere else. But he can't seem to stay healthy. He's going to hurt his value if this stays the path for him where he just continues to be banged up.
100%. And, you know, he's so valuable to that offense, too, right, as kind of that complement, as the, you know, kind of the yin to Ja'Marr Chase's yang, if you will, right? They're different types of receivers, and I love what he brings there, that toughness, that kind of middle interior sort of route running, the tough catches on the sideline. Really, really good player, but you're 100% right. Definitely, no, not his fault, but hurting his value there, potentially in the open market.
T. Higgins, by the way, in case you're curious, had some big numbers when he was playing. 4 for 82 and a touchdown at Cleveland in his last game. 7 for 77 against the Giants before that. 9 for 83 in a shootout loss in overtime to the Ravens, so he had been productive. Better news for the Green Bay Packers as they get ready for Week 9. Jordan Love left their game this past weekend with a groin injury. He was practicing at least partially today. Josh Jacobs, who was also injured for them, he is also back at practice. So they're expecting to have both their quarterback and their running back on the field as they get primed for one of the big games of their season coming up. Next stop, the Detroit Lions on Sunday, the November 3rd.
Yeah, that is the matchup, right? And Jordan Love, speaking of can't get right, I mean, hasn't had as good a season as you would think for a guy that had such an unbelievable second half last year. He was a kind of a dark horse MVP candidate. Hadn't been bad by any stretch, but it's more picks than you'd think. He's been injured now, had to leave this one game. I think missed two earlier on in the season where they kind of got, were able to get away with it there with Malik Willis and company. But that's another guy that's kind of on, this just doesn't seem to be one of those years where it's all rolling in the right direction for Jordan Love.
Commanders, Giants, we referenced this in passing earlier. One note for New York is that Brian Daboll said that running back Tyrone Tracy, who's become their best back early this
season, good.
Non-contact jersey in practice today, on track to clear the concussion protocol ahead of Sunday, which is a little bit surprising. There was some thought that he may actually not play in the game, but now all signs point to that no longer being the case. Coming off of a really nice 145-yard rushing performance against a good Steelers defense. That guy can run. He's legit. And that's a pain in the butt for Washington to have to deal with.
I'm really hoping he decides to take his time and that the team takes its time dealing with him. I'd much rather deal with Devin Singletary than Tracy. There's burst there for him. I mean, he's not a big back by any stretch of the imagination, but different actual physical running. But his style reminds me of Isaiah Pacheco, where he's a smaller back, but still runs with a lot of authority and power and some burst and some quicks. Like, he's a threat. That's kind of something that they found. They didn't know, otherwise they would have featured him much earlier on. He'd have been the bell cow from Jump Street, but he's a good back. He is now kind of giving them one more compliment to the Malik Nabers show, who you know is going to get double-digit targets.
Feels like at 2-6 and 0-3 in the division, there is no patience on these injuries. He's going to get back as soon as he can. Let's get you a Caps power play as they get ready to play at home tonight.
It's time for Granddaddy's Power Play, presented by American Standard Heating and Cooling and MidAtlanticComfort.com.
It's a power play goal!
Halloween hockey in D.C., the Montreal Canadiens 4-5-1 taking on your 6-2 Capitals. Couple of notes on this game. Alex Alexiev is going to draw the assignment to play this evening with Jacob Chychrun out. No changes otherwise on the forward up front lines. Hendrix Lapierre remains a healthy scratch. Charlie Lindgren's going to be in net for the Capitals against Montreal, Danny, as he continues to undulate, back and forth in performances with Logan Thompson.
Yeah, they're really committed to this plan, it seems like, of not necessarily having a bell cow, I know I'm borrowing from a football expression, in terms of who gets how many starts at goalie. They're going to be close to 50-50. Maybe if somebody emerges, gets hot, it'll sort of tilt that way. But I like this plan to kind of keep everybody fresh as the season progresses. They're sneaky, a little bit banged up on defense, right? I mean, we're sort of waiting for everybody to be healthy. Even with that, they've overcome an awful lot to get off to this really nice 6-2 start. But something I'm monitoring for sure.
Alexiev, by the way, missed practice yesterday because he and his wife, Kate, just had their first child, a baby boy. So congratulations to them And even more exciting for him, now he gets to finally get into the lineup defensively here in the 2024 season. Caps getting a ton of production from their younger players already. Connor McMichael coming off a 10-shot performance. Alexi Protas, the 23-year-old, has made a massive jump early this season, which has been really, really good to see. That is your Caps power play.
Grant and Danny's Power Play, presented by American Standard Heating and Cooling and MidAtlanticComfort.com.
Next on Grant and Danny, you will hear what defensive coordinator Joe Witt, probably the best at the mic among anyone out in Ashburn this season, had to say today about his much improved defense. You're listening to The Fan.